Hello, respected viewers. Here I am in Leicester Cathedral, and there is, looking to the east, the main altar. And then you see up above Jesus, I-N-R-I, Jesus Nazarenus, Rex Judaeorum, above the cross, being taken down from the cross. And who is that? Is that the Blessed Virgin beside him? You can see various halos of saintly figures, and there is ascension into heaven, and on. So, a rich artistic tradition. Just two candles. Church of England's only got one candle on either side of the cross. The Catholic Church got the crucifix in the middle and three on either side. Nobody on earth can ever tell me the signification of the six. Even Catholic priests don't know. And various monumental plaques to people buried here and nearby. Then look at the roof. And then they've got angels' faces there as well. And all the stars. Okay. And the plaque in Latin, for example. So just this marvellous artwork. You see these names? Are these original donors of theirs who actually get to sit there now? Some officials of the cathedral. Right. And some people who lived in this parish were killed in the First World War, or the Great War, as they used to call it. Them having no idea it'd be a Second World War. Anyway, famously, here is the tomb of Richard III. So he was killed at the Battle of Bosworth Field, just about 5 miles to the west of here, on the 22nd of August, 1485, the end of the Wars of the Roses, which lasted for 30 years. That said, historians have said if you add up all the actual fighting, it only lasted for about 2 years, because there's a long period of peace in the middle of that. So Richard III, for a long time, is known as the Duke of Gloucester, because that was his noble title. If you read the Shakespeare play about him, he's known as Gloucester for much of that time. So he's born in 1452, and the Wars of the Roses is a split between two branches of the English royal family, the Yorkists and the Lancastrians, because it was Edward III had five sons, and they were all given ducal titles. So some of the descendants of those five sons intermarried, ended up in two sides. So according to Shakespeare's play, Henry VI, in Temple Garden in London, one side chose the White Rose, the Yorkists, and the others chose the Red Rose, the Lancastrians. So they were all part of the Plantagenet dynasty. And look at their coat of arms, because they claim to be rightful kings of France, the Fleur de Lis of France and the Lions Passant of England. So anyway, Henry VI was mentally ill. He was born in 1421, the son of Henry V and Catherine de Valois, who's the daughter of King Charles VI of France. The Hundred Years' War was going on. Anyway, so Henry VI became king at the age of 9 months, the only person crowned King of France and King of England, actually crowned in France. Now, the kings of England often claim the title King of France, but they didn't manage to get themselves crowned in France. He's crowned in Paris, despite that Paris also being the capital of France. It's Reims, where the kings of France were buried, were crowned. But so Henry VI's uncle, Charles VII of France, he said, no, I'm the rightful king of France. I don't care about that treaty, giving the crown to my nephew. And so Henry VI never managed to get crowned in Reims, crowned king of England as an infant, crowned king of France at the age of 10. Anyway, he was struck by mental illness, which he inherited from his French grandfather. And then the Duke of York, his distant cousin, said, well, I'm just going to overthrow him. He will be the nominal king, but I will actually rule until he dies, which was assumed to be not too long. But that Duke of York died. Not go into it. So Henry VI overthrown in 1460 after an abortive attempt to do so. And then he fled to Scotland with his wife, who was rather unpopular, and eventually came back in 1470 and reclaimed the throne. He was against Edward IV, his distant cousin, who did depose him and reigned for 10 years. Then 1471, Henry VI overthrown again. His son, Edward of Westminster, was killed fighting the Battle of Tewkesbury. And after that, Henry VI died in the Tower of London. Did he die of melancholy upon hearing his son had died? Or was it because he was murdered there? But anyway, Richard III, he fought in lots of these battles as a Lancastrian. What else should I say? So his elder brother was Edward IV. He had another brother, the George Duke of Clarence, who wanted to take the Lancastrian side. But he was found to be in communication with the enemy, overthrown and killed. What else should I tell you about him? So King Wakemaker Warwick, the Earl of Warwick, Richard Neville, he was a key figure in this. Whichever side he took was going to win. And then Richard III, he married Kingmaker Warwick's daughter. He had one son with her. But so then, finally, Edward IV died, and Richard III's nephews were due to take over. One was going to be Edward V, who was then 12 years old. But then Richard III announced that Elizabeth Woodville was not properly married to his elder brother, Edward IV. Therefore, Edward V was illegitimate, and Edward V's younger brother, Richard Shrewsbury, was illegitimate and had no rights of inheritance. So then Titulus Regius was published, a document stating all this, why Richard III should be king. And Richard III, he arrested the Woodvilles, and then he had his nephews put in the Tower of London, which didn't have such a sinister reputation back then. And eventually they disappeared. And in July 1483, he was crowned king, and his nephews were never seen again. Rumours leaked out that they were murdered. Nobody, there's another rumour that they fled to Ireland. So he ruled for 2 years, but the rebellions against him, attempts to rescue his nephews, who were almost certainly killed on his orders. And then Henry VII, his distant cousin, was living in Brittany. So Richard III tried to make a deal with Brittany, then an independent country. Would they return Henry VII to him, presumably for execution? And in return, then Richard III would support Brittany against France. But informed of this, Henry VII, who's a Tudor, who's a Lancastrian, he fled to France. The French embraced him, and they gave him 2,000 soldiers. So he sailed to Wales. He was partly Welsh. He landed there the 7th of August, 1483, and then he marched into England, gathering troops along the way. Richard III, he rallied his army, and the men came to the royal banner, and then he marched into Leicestershire and fought that battle of Market Bosworth, taking up a good position on Ambion Hill. Now, Henry VII had a fairly good position as well, with the big marsh on one side, outnumbered 2-1. Which way was the Stanley family going to go? A major landholding family in the Midlands. And then Sir Richard III, he took Lord George Strange, who was the child of the head of the Stanley family, Sir William Stanley, hostage, and said, if you don't come over to my side, I will kill your child. So I know it was an absolutely barbaric thing to do, but the Stanleys were standing off. Which way were they going to go? Anyway, Richard III was killed in the battle. His side collapsed, and that was it. It was a very close-run thing. It could easily have gone the other way. He had a 2-1 advantage, plus his men were fresher, often professional soldiers, and so on. They were on their home ground. They hadn't marched a long distance. So that's why it's actually quite surprising that Henry VII, the Tudor, managed to win. They found the crown there, the naked body of Richard III brought and buried in Greyfriars Abbey after being displayed for 3 days. They put it on display to scotch any rumours that he'd survived. Anyway, it was dug up in 2012, and it was found at almost exactly where they expected it to be found within an hour of the excavation beginning. Quite astonishing. There he is. Okay.